y'all. Good morning once again. Children, if you're ready to go down the hall, you may do that. The rest of us, let's turn to John chapter 11 this morning as we continue to approach our Easter Sunday celebration. I was kind of going over the message last evening and thinking to myself, this one might actually be kind of short, but I doubt it. Every time I say it, it's never short. So I almost didn't even say that because every time I say it, I just want to give you guys a free amen right there. Here comes a good opportunity to say amen. How many in the room, if this is true for you, say amen? Sometimes, haven't even said it yet. Sometimes you feel like you're not living life. Life is happening to you. How many of y'all felt that way from time to time? Anybody who's an adult should have. I mean, that starts happening when you become a teenager, right? If teenagers don't know what to do with themselves because they have no idea what's going on. And they act like the whole world is coming down, but that's because they're becoming teenagers. Friend, there's a lot of things that go on. Well, as we become adults and we start gaining responsibilities, hopefully, and becoming, I guess, what God would consider an adult, right? And what God intended for us to be as in adults and it's like every time you turn around, especially in the recent years, I believe, for my personal opinion, I suppose, it seems like something else is happening that's negative or harmful or confusing or stressful or just not the way you had planned, right? And how many of us know that life ain't easy? It just is not easy. Nothing in God's word ever promised that life would be easy, whether you're saved or not. In fact, for the believer, once you become a believer, it gets less easy. It becomes more difficult and challenging. Before I was saved, I could do whatever I want, whenever I want, without knowing about the consequences between me and God. That I'm not saying that was a good thing, but I didn't have any of the limitations that the Word of God has in my life because I had never surrendered to it. And I can tell you that since I've become a believer, and now I have guidelines in my life, life is still hard. I can tell you that life is just as hard, and it's in some cases even more difficult, because as we get older, we approach that one thing that we all try to avoid, and that's leaving this world. And as we get older, our loved ones do the same. And as we get older, things change and life changes and struggles happen and trauma happens and stress, and we don't get what we want for suppers and we just can't afford this. And you know, it just keeps going on and on, doesn't it? And y'all, I know y'all are sitting there going, man, I hope this sermon gets better. This is getting depressing. It's going to get better, I promise you. It's going to get better if you understand what we're about to talk about. But you know, it's just a few weeks before Easter Sunday, and just about every Easter at some point in my personal life, as I'm preparing sermons or if I'm just thinking about what Easter is all about, being reminded about it, evaluating it, thinking deeply about it, realizing what I've been saved from, realizing what happened on the cross and His resurrection and what it all means, right? I start to realize that none of that makes me exempt from bad things happening in my life and stress. I mean, people have gone through bankruptcies. They've gone through losing a job. Maybe they didn't get into a college that they wanted to get into. Maybe they got too many bills because they got kids and they got to provide for their kids. Or maybe, just maybe, somebody in the world has a spouse who doesn't know how to be a spouse, and that's because causing a stressful situation, right? It's just one thing after the other, and if you don't have Jesus, you have no hope for anything. you're on your own. So when I think about the resurrection of our Lord, I think that hope is quite possibly the greatest blessing of it all. Wouldn't y'all agree with that, maybe? I mean, salvation, forgiveness of my sins, because I know what I have done to offend our Lord. And I know what the blood of Christ did for those sins. And that's a pretty big deal, if you ask me. But I also know that whatever happens in this world, however long I'm going to be here to serve the Lord, at some point, this is all going to be over for me, and I'm going to be with the Lord for eternity. And there ain't going to be no more heartache and tears and mourning and stress. Ain't going to be no more problems and hard to get along with folks in your life, because I know Jesus. Because not just because I know him, not because I've submitted to him, but because he died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead, making him my Savior. Right? So I wanted to get to the point so that y'all didn't stay depressed about the beginning of this message. Because I don't like to talk about bad things if I don't have to. I like to focus on what the Lord is doing in my life, in your life, in the church, in the body of Christ, around the world. God's working all the time. There's blessings happening everywhere all the time. On top of that, we get to be saved. On top of that, we get to go to be with the Lord for eternity. So there's hope. We're going to look in chapter 11 of John this morning, talk about the death of, and resurrection of Lazarus. And it's a lengthy portion of scripture, which I am not going to read the entire thing. Basically, Lazarus dies, and Jesus is a friend of the family, and these ladies call for Jesus to come and help before he died, and Jesus waits a few days and comes later and intentionally waits for Lazarus to be dead, not just right then, not just one day, but 4 days before Jesus shows up on the scene. And I want to talk first about expectations this morning. If you're married, you should have expectations in your marriage, right? When y'all stood in front of the Lord and said, I do, to whoever it is you said I do to in front of, with, you have the right to have expectations. Wouldn't you agree? Everybody should shake your head and say amen, right? Don't look at your wife or husband. Just say amen. We have a right to expect certain things from our spouse. We have the right to expect certain things from our children. We have the right to expect certain things from each other as believers because of what the Word of God says. Wouldn't you agree with that? I expect y'all to act like people who believe in God. And you should expect me to do the same if you're believers. If you're not a believer and you reject the Lord, then I expect you to live accordingly. So expectations aren't necessarily bad, right? However, expectations can get us in trouble or get us in a place of discouragement or get us lost with regards to what's really going on. I want to focus in on verse 21 of this account because Lazarus is dead, and he tells his disciples, okay, let's go and let's go see what's happening, even though he knows he's going to be dead. He's been dead for 4 days by the time he gets there. And Mary and Martha are mourning this loss because he's dead, and he's obviously dead. And Jesus shows up, and here I want to talk about what Martha said to Jesus when he finally shows up in verse 21. Check this out. It's not on the board. Look it in your Bible. Martha then said to Jesus, verse 21 of chapter 11, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now that, to me, is not a statement that seems out of line when communicating with Jesus, when communicating with our Lord. I don't know that that would be a wrong thing to say. It's how she felt. It's what she thought. It's what she expected to happen. She expected Jesus to come right when he was sent for, and she expected that if he would have came and been there before that Lazarus had died, then he would have been able to do something about the situation. That's what she expected. So is Jesus wrong because he didn't do what she expected him to do? Right? The answer is no. We know the answer, right? You can say no. The answer is no. He's not wrong. He has something else going on. Now, how many times in your life have you later, after the fact, looked back and realized, okay, God had something else going on there and I didn't even realize it? And you had a lot of expectations in the middle of that life event. And it caused you to have some serious prayer time between you and the Lord trying to understand, what is God doing? Why isn't God doing? Will God do or don't do? Whatever the prayers are, right? And we have to be really prayerful and careful about how we communicate with God and keeping our expectations of God in the right place. Because when our expectations of God get out of the right place or get out of line, then we begin to become discouraged spiritually. And possibly, if it gets bad enough, we become so discouraged that we begin to shrink back in our faith. We begin to doubt God. And in some cases, people actually walk away from God because God didn't meet their expectations of him. Now, you think about what I'm saying. You think about what I'm saying about expectations. Do we think it's proper for any of us to expect anything from God? It's a tough question, isn't it? Yeah, because, I mean, we can expect what the Scripture tells us, right? Right? We can expect what the Bible tells us we should expect from God. I think I get in trouble from time to time because I expect God to do or not do certain things in certain ways. And he ends up doing something different than what I expected. Martha expected Jesus to be there before Lazarus died. She wasn't expecting what Jesus did. She wasn't expecting Lazarus to even come back to life. She thought it was all over. Verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She still says, I believe you, Jesus. I believe that you are who you are. It's just you're too late. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. He just told her what he's doing, and she still is having trouble because of her expectations. She says, I know, verse 24, I know that he will rise again in a resurrection on the last day. She's like, well, I know that. We're all going to be. She knows, she's saying what she knows from what she's been taught in their Bible studies, in their study of the laws and all of those things. And Jesus said to her in verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus does not always meet our expectations. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? It is a hard pill to swallow because everybody who is a believer, or even if you're not a believer, you're just kind of one of those fire insurance Christians. You just kind of say you believe, but you don't really commit to the Lord, you know? We think that somehow or another, if we just say in Jesus' name, then he'll have to respond to that. Like it's a magic word or something. And I've had some really serious prayer time with our Father over the time of my Christian walk. And a lot of those prayers still haven't been answered. At least not in the way that I've been communicating them. And I don't think that's a sinful thing. I just think it's where I am with the Lord, you know, and the Lord's just waiting for me to get on board with his plan for my life. Now, y'all know about my son. You know who he was and how he lived his life and what problems he had. When I was a young, barely man when he was born. And I was racing cars and I was ruling my kingdom. And when I found out I was having a son, in my mind, I had already built him a race car. I had given him the next number down from mine. It had his name on the door, painted the same color as mine. We were going to be on the track together, racing. We were going to be father and son doing it, doing life. Racing cars. And then he was born with his disability. You want to talk about not meeting expectations. I have had to learn over the years that I have better keep my expectations of God in check, or it will be hard for me. And it's not because God doesn't love me. It's not because God doesn't want to bless me. It isn't because God's not faithful. It's because God has his plan, and I need to get in line with that. Right? So, in this world, if we have expectations that we put on God that aren't realistic or aren't in line with who he is and what his will is, we will be more disappointed than we are blessed by our relationship with him. And by the way, God's plan turned out to be way, way better than my plan was. I mean, can't even describe the difference between what I would have done with my son and his life than what God did. So yeah, I think I'll go with God. I think I'll just get in line with God. You know, God doesn't just, he's not at our beck and call. What happened on the cross, Jesus coming into the world and then doing his ministry and then allowing himself to be arrested and beaten and tortured and spit on and cursed, and all of that that happened on the cross, and then gave up his life, and the Father had to turn himself away from him while he bore our guilt. And then they buried him after he gave his life up, and then God, our Father, resurrected him from the dead. And we don't even have the right to expect him to do that. Hello? If we expect salvation from God, I think that's appropriate because of John 3:16. Because the gospel says whoever will believe can have salvation, can have forgiveness, can live for eternity, can have the hope that we all have in Christ. But that's the only reason we can expect it. Because if we expect that from God or anything else because we think we deserve something, how disappointed are we going to be? See, we don't dictate the terms of our relationship with God, do we? And I think sometimes we end up frustrated because of that. And when we get to our Easter celebration, I hope that when we look at the cross and we look at an empty grave or a picture of an empty grave and we talk about it and read about it, sing songs about it, pray about it, and we have our communion together and recognize this resurrection and the power that it brings into our life, I hope that it reminds us that we don't need to be expecting things that we shouldn't expect from God. Because these ladies didn't expect Lazarus to come back to life. Well, how would that happen? Did you ever consider that? I mean, I read the story about Lazarus and I say to myself, man, Lazarus had got a bum deal because he was already dead and gone. He had come back in this world. Maybe, I mean, he when he came out of the grave, when Lazarus came out, he went and hung out with Jesus and the disciples the rest of his life. So I guess that wasn't bad, was it? There's joy in that. Jesus, in verse 23 to 24 specifically, Jesus, he doesn't just show up when we expect him to. He doesn't always provide what we expect. He doesn't always prevent what we expect. And it's hard to say amen to that because that's what we want him to do. And it's hard to even know how to pray sometimes because we don't want to say a prayer and then find out that that's not what God's doing, because that's disappointing. And I'm trying to present this so that I'm not down talking God, because God is faithful and he's always involved. He's always there. Sometimes he's doing something different. Sometimes he's teaching a lesson. Sometimes he's helping us grow. You know, I used to pray when I was younger. Before I got saved, I would talk to God, but I never thought he was going to talk back to me. But I would always pray about paying the bills and stuff like, you know, young people need to do. And I finally realized, after I got saved and got to know God a bit, I finally realized that God was providing for me the whole time. I was the knucklehead that didn't know how to manage what he was providing. So who was faithful? You know, God's always faithful. I can expect God to be faithful. The problem is if we expect his faithfulness to look like a certain thing, we're going to be disappointed and we might even miss it. God doesn't see things from our perspective, y'all. Or we don't see things from his perspective. We got to be kingdom-minded here when we're looking at the cross and the resurrection and celebrating Easter. Are we celebrating Easter just because we get a free ticket to heaven? Or are we celebrating Easter because it's the one thing that keeps us from eternal death? It's the one thing that brings us back into his holy presence. Not because he has to or just because he wants to, but because he loves us that much. And because of what I see on the cross and his death, burial, and resurrection, and Easter Sunday and Christmas morning, all of the Bible, because of all of that, I can expect God to love me. Hello? Isn't that great? I expect God to love me. And every time we have communion on Sunday morning or any other time, I expect God to continue to love me even while I'm confessing my sins. You think about that? Even in that moment where you have to go before God and say, one more time, Lord, I messed up. As if he didn't know. And then you realize, even while you were sinning, he was loving you. Even in the middle of the sinning, he was loving you. That's what the whole arresting and beating and torture of Jesus is about. Even while the whole world was sinning against our Savior, he's actually loving them all while he went to the cross. So what should I expect from God when I compare my behavior and his together? I don't deserve, you don't deserve, we don't deserve to expect anything from God, do we? But praise the Lord, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we get to expect his love in this way. And I have hope that one day all of this mess, hardship, sorrow, crying, stress, anger, bitterness, conflict between the world and the church and the neighbors and the neighbors and the people we don't know and the people, even you look in the mirror and have conflict with yourself, will be over. Y'all should be smiling right now. Y'all should have big smiles on your face going, what? It's not going to be like this. Bad stuff isn't going to happen forever. So what should our expectations be from God, the one who loves us? Well, in verse 25, it says this right here. Jesus said to this Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. No, every time I have expected something from God and been disappointed because my expectations were misplaced or out of line or whatever the case, and God was doing something different, every time I can see it as it, God is in the middle of giving me love and life. And His plan is always way better than mine. Way better than mine. Resurrection. I am the resurrection. He's talking about victory over death. When Lazarus comes walking out of the grave, as Jesus walks over to the grave and He tells Lazarus, hey, come out of there. And when Jesus speaks, He speaks words that have the full authority of the kingdom of God behind them. So He says, come out. And Lazarus comes walking out all bound up with the death wrappings, going, what in the world's going on here? He's not dead anymore. Life. God created people to have life, not to be dead. Death came when Adam and Eve sinned. And it was death that brought life. That's the gospel. We get to be excited every day in our life because of this. Doesn't matter what great thing's going on or what average thing is going on or what terrible thing is going on. We still have hope of eternal life with our Savior. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you submit yourself to His lordship of your life, if you repent of being a sinner against the Father, if you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, people don't realize that once you engage in and walk into the salvation that's provided for you through the gospel, once you do that, you have begun your eternal life. You've begun to live again. That's why it's so exciting. You're alive. You were a dead man or dead woman walking before you got saved. You're already dead. Hopeless. That's a hard word to hear, isn't it? Hopeless. You know what hopeless means? It means no hope. I mean, it is. I mean, that's what it means. There is absolutely no way out. And here we are. We could be the king of the world, and we could have it all. We could have all the riches of the whole world, but if we don't have Jesus, we have no hope. Because once you leave this world, it's going to get worse than it ever could have ever been in this world. Y'all, I'm preaching to the choir this morning, y'all. I know I am. But sometimes the choir's got to get excited, right? He's the resurrection, He's the victory over death, and He's the life, the joy that comes with life. I thought I was living before I got saved. I mean, my kingdom was rocking and rolling, y'all. Not much about it honored God, but it was rocking and rolling. And since I got saved, there's no comparison. I thought I was living. All I was doing was wrecking a train. There was no joy, no real joy in my life. I mean, I met my wife, and there's some joy in that. She's been an amazing blessing to me and to my son, and there's a little bit of joy here and there. I mean, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, right? But I didn't know Jesus. And I was a dead man walking. And then I got saved and I started realizing that this is what life is all about, y'all. Every one of us in recent times have been through some hard times. We've been through a pandemic together, y'all. We've all had loss in our families. We've had loss in here in the church. We've had tough times, haven't we? And God has shown Himself faithful through it all. Every bit of it. And His plan is always the greater plan. His plan is always the best plan. He has never failed us. And we should not expect Him to. So expectations are great if they're in line with what we know about God. There's a lot of people that they believe some of this bad teaching where if you just name it, claim it kind of stuff. If you just say something, then God will have to respond to that. I hope that's not what you listen to, because that's not what this Bible says. Because if it was a name it, claim it reality with God, then I would be in charge of God, wouldn't I? God is in charge of this. It's His kingdom that rules the universe. It's His universe. Why wouldn't I just sit on the bus and ride and let Him drive? You know? Why wouldn't I just ride with God? Why wouldn't I just go with God? Why wouldn't I just sit back and let God? Hello? I am the resurrection and the life. He is. Not He's providing the resurrection and the life, or He's making it happen. No, He is. And the only way to have the benefits of the resurrection and the life is to be in Christ. And the only way to be in Christ is what I just laid out. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you should repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Let the Spirit of God lead you. Revelation chapter 21 is a great place to study. Revelation chapter 21 talks about how one day Jesus is going to heal it all. It's all going to be made new. It's all when Jesus went to the cross, he says, look, I make all things new. What happened in the Garden of Eden was necessary for God to be God and for His plan to be fulfilled when Jesus comes out of the grave. And for each one of us to have opportunity to receive the gospel for the first time. To repent. To make our way back into the blessings of God's kingdom. Right? How many of y'all realize that we're on a need-to-know basis? Most of you in the room should know, because I've said it a bunch of times over the years. I believe we're all on a need-to-know basis for two reasons. One, because we're not God, and two, because if we knew what God was doing, we'd have a meeting and try to change it. I'll just speak for myself. I know that's true for me. I feel like most people are the same way. I expect that if you love God and you've committed yourself to Jesus as Lord and Savior, your Lord and Savior, if you've repented of your sins, if you've been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you have the Holy Spirit living in your life, I expect God to do great things with you, for you, and through you. And I expect Him to have His way, period. End of message. No more discussion. He's just going to have His way. And if I have to say something else behind that, then I'm probably going to get out of line. If I have to say He's going to have His way only if it looks like this, or only if it does that, or only if it makes me feel comfortable. I don't know how many guys I went to school with, Cincinnati and Johnson actually, but mostly Cincinnati guys, only because that was the first couple years. These guys were like eager and on fire to go preach. And we're taking preaching classes, and we're taking all kinds of classes, and we would stand around after class and talk, and I don't know how many of them guys would look at me and say, well, if it's got to be within 500 miles of where I live now, or I'm not going to go. And it baffled me. I'm not going to say it's wrong, but it just baffled me. Because I'm trying to tell these guys, I'm like, what if God has something else for you to do? What if He's molding you just for a certain thing anywhere in this world, and you're just going to say, I'm not going to do it? And who am I to tell somebody what the Lord's telling them, right? But for me, it was wherever You want me to go, whatever You want me to do, Lord, when I first went into ministry. However You want me to do it, I'll do it. That's what I said. When I first went into ministry, I said those things to God, and I meant them, and I still mean them. The problem is, way back then, I didn't have a clue what I was saying. I mean, because look, here I am. I didn't even know nothing about this church way back then. But here I am. And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to serve the Lord. If we're gonna go to Afghanistan, or if we're going to go to Korea, if we're going to go to Somalia, let's go. Whatever it takes to preach the gospel, y'all. Not because we're special, not because of any other thing, except for we understand what happened on the cross. And we understand what the resurrection really means. You understand what I'm saying? It's about that. And it's about getting everybody in the world to see what that is. The power of it. The resurrection. This Jesus, our Savior, He's the only one out of all the religions that's alive today. There's power there. It's our message. The Spirit of God living in us to go into the world and make those things happen. So I find it easier, and I hope that we as a congregation can continue to get better and better at this, is we just seek the Lord's will and don't have any expectations. Except for that the gospel is powerful, and if we go out into the world and plant it into the hearts of people, we can expect God to do something with it. However that looks, right? Now, I'll tell you this one thing, and then we're going to sing. There's nothing more frustrating to me than to have one of the nice older ladies at one of the churches I was at to invite me over for supper. And she don't eat barbecue. She eats a lot of lettuce, and really nice lady. And she got little plates about yay big. It was a great visit with that lady. But my expectations were out of line, and I got disappointed. But we have hope in Christ. We can expect the hope that we have in Christ to be faithful. Isn't that great, y'all? We're getting two more Sundays, and we'll be celebrating Easter Sunday morning. I say we start now. I say start now inviting your friends and neighbors, because it's going to take them that long to make up their mind to come. Let's fill the place up so we can preach the gospel to them. And love on them and talk about this. I love you, and the Lord loves you. If you got a decision to make, come up here and do it. Let's stand together and sing.